Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpin review titled Tarps Off, featuring Drew Amar and Andrew Alleman. On today's show, we play the domain game featuring tarp.com, kinetic.ai, that's with a K and another K, and transactionai.com. And then we've got the NameJet Gonna Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including Shea.com, SunEnergy.com, and AquaCraft.com. We also talk about lease-to-own deals and trends based on the domain name Wire article that highlights the recent name bio post. We talk about that and some of the different types of LTO models. We also discuss some of the various domain appraisal tools, as Domain Name Wire has been posting articles, analyzing and reviewing them. So we talk about some of those tools, the good and the bad, and what are some of the challenges for domain appraisal tools in general. The wrap-up article of all of that is coming soon to Domain Name Wire, so definitely check that out when it drops. We also talk about some of the recent domain conferences and meetings, such as the recent ICA meeting in New York City and Nordic Domain Days in Stockholm. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. Yeah, and now, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the ICANN-accredited registrar that gives domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $799.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else like AI search, AI outbounding, and the new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cito, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find an acquire your domain names, so go to dnx.com today. Also, big shout out to appraise.net, instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths, and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. Get your first month for just $1 at appraise.net/domainsherpa. And last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com. Where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And also, a reminder, we've got NamesCon 2026 taking place in Miami, Florida, November 11th and 12th. Go to namescon.com for more information and to register. And now with all that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is the Domain Sherpa Review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz, my homies, and very, very excited for today's show. So we've got four segments to a Domain Sherpa Review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them, talk about some related things, some unrelated things. Then we get into the domain game. That's what we hear about with the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score and somehow, some way, someday get some swag to the winners. I know that everybody on this show at the moment has some swag, although I'm the only one actually rocking swag. That's fine. I'm the host. It's my job. You know what I'm saying? It's not your obligation, but it's all good. It's all good. Mental note. And then moving on, we got NameJet Gonna Jet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet, see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. And then last but not least, we got grand closing where we'll discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention or promote anything they want to talk about that we've not already discussed. You know, we've got a lot of cool conferences, some the ICA meeting that just happened. We've got NamesCon, Nordic Domain Days just happened. So a lot going on for the people that are out and about. And, you know, just good, exciting stuff. So, but let's go ahead and we'll get to that. Let's introduce the Sherpas over to my left. We got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn. Never going to give Drew up. Greybeard, the Domain Pirate, Domain Don in the building. What's going on, man? How are you?
I have a domain offer you can't
I don't know, but I am definitely rocking the Greybeard today. I'll tell you that. I've been pretty lazy and busy, and I just haven't manicured myself. But I'm definitely due for a shave. All is well. All is well. May was a shockingly good month. May is traditionally going back almost. I think there was only one exception. I think the only exception was actually during COVID 2021. Other than that, I think May's been like one of our two or three worst months of the year every year. So shockingly, we had an astonishingly good May. We haven't done the numbers yet, but it will be probably one of our best Mays ever. So that was a positive surprise. Personally, I just spent the weekend in my new farmhouse for the first time. So we are officially broken in.
Nice.
And that's it. That's all I got. The cows came and literally ripped up all my trees, ate my plants that I just planted. Cows came home. Took a big old dump on the patio in front of my master bedroom and ate my whole fig tree. They ripped out my blood oranges and destroyed all the plants that we planted on the ground, just destroyed them.
So farming's off to a good start for you.
Yeah. I think this is pretty much, how it goes, right? It's basically that's what farming is. It's you plant, you get kicked in the nuts, you plant, you get kicked in the nuts, and eventually, after a while, you figure it out or you give up.
Not unlike domaining.
Or you eat the cow.
No. That's one way to figure it out. It is. Anyway. All right. Well, cool, man. Good stuff. All good stuff. All right. Let's keep it moving. Below Drew, we got the one and only Amar Kuba, a.k.a. King Kuba, a.k.a. Danny Ocean, a.k.a. the even greater Gatsby. Don't chase an unworthy dream, y'all. A.k.a. Amarzan, a.k.a. Kuba Libre, a.k.a. LL Amar J, a.k.a. Kuba Soze. What's up, man?
How you doing? Good. So I'm a year behind Drew. He just started demolishing. And
all right.
A year? You're dreaming.
Yeah,
my house took four.
Yeah,
your house is going to take at least two.
Yeah, we'll see. But I got woken up by the alarm company calling me like, hey, there's somebody, the alarm just went off. What's going on? I wasn't expecting them to actually be starting yesterday. So that's how I...
To show up when they said they would.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So that happened, but everything's good, man. I the other thing is I actually had a pretty shitty May, domain wise, but that's okay. You know that's part of the game. You have good months and bad months, and looking forward to a better June.
All right, I like it. We're all looking forward to June flowers, I guess. So all right, well, let's keep it moving. Below me, last but certainly not least, we've got a semi-special guest. We've got the one and only Andrew Alleman, founder and publisher of Domain Name Wire, a.k.a. Avon Barksdale, a.k.a. Stringer Bell, to get the Wire reference, a.k.a. Down to the Wire, a.k.a. Through the Wire, a.k.a. Andrew Tin Pan Alley Man, a.k.a. Hey, Andrew Alleman, Alley Me Banana, Daylight Come and Me Wanna Go Home.
Makes sense.
Is it just me, reach?
It's like a super reach. I have
that was a stretch.
It's all right though.
I appreciate the Wire references though. Best TV show ever. Best drama ever.
I've actually never seen a single episode of The Wire.
I'm jealous. That you get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah, you
is
know that's
really
what I
that
say
good.
Too.
Is it really like?
No, yeah. You got to get past like a couple episodes. It's not one of those things where it's like they're doing all these cliffhangers and stuff. So you got to get a few episodes, and that's awesome.
100%. Yeah, Wire is definitely number one. I mean, they've lectured on it at Harvard. It's a slow burn. You know what I mean? It's because it's very like there's socioeconomic
sort of, call it lessons, observations, insight, whatever you want to call it, politics, obviously the drug game, you know, it's like, you know, there is a poverty, like there's just so, the cops, the drug dealers, like there's a lot in there. It's extremely layered. It's super well done. And yeah, it's interesting because I agree with you, Andrew. The, you know, my thing, whenever somebody hasn't watched like a top, top show like Breaking Bad, The Wire, you know, things that are in my top, whatever,
oh,
I was jealous of. Homeland was a great one too. But, you know, I'm always jealous that they could have the opportunity to experience it for the first time. And The Wire, Hamsterdam, I mean, you got to like, it's great. It's not a easy show. It's not one of those where it's pretty, it's real.
It's not a feel good show. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not a feel good. Or as my mom used to say, a Calgon, you know what I'm saying? Where you just like, you know,
take me away.
Yeah. Or at least not in a good way. But anyway, so what's up, dude? It's been a minute. How are you?
It's good. I just got back from Stockholm. From Nordic Domain Days.
Oh, nice. Okay. You made it up there for that?
Yeah, I did. And I flew Iceland Air, which lets you do a stopover in Iceland.
Yep.
So I stayed there for a couple of days, went to the Blue Lagoon, stayed there overnight, and then spent a day in Reykjavik. So that was fun. And Nordic Domain Days was, it was cool. It was really good. Enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
What's the weather like? Was it
cool? Oh, it was beautiful. Like the day I got there, it was like 65 and sunny. So even in Iceland, it was like 60 and sunny the first day. Second day was raining, but I don't know. Maybe it's, I build up all this good weather karma from suffering through Seattle's winter. And then,
for sure.
But and in domain sales, this is my best year ever. I'm not selling more domains. I'm just selling them at higher prices. And May was a little slow at first. And then I had a decent, five figure sale, which you guys know I mostly in like the 2 to 5, 2 to 10K range, and then a couple good lease to owns at the end. So what started out slow kind of finished strong, assuming those LTOs pay out. But so pretty good right now.
Very cool.
I asked this just because, and I think you actually, I haven't read the article yet, but I think you just published an article today about it. But forgive me, I don't remember who it was, but somebody posted. Somebody with a very large portfolio that's doing a lot of LTOs. I think they were doing around 150.
It was Mike Sumner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Sumner?
I posted about his tweet, you know, which is, so okay. So you probably saw it on Domain.
Was it Sumner's portfolio? Is that Adam's portfolio or what portfolio?
I don't know whose portfolio.
No,
that
it's,
is.
It's, Narendra's, I think.
The guy who owns NameBio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's their port. And I think, Sumner, I don't know if he manages it or something, but
Sumner is CEO.
I think it's Narendra's, if I'm pronouncing it right, I think it's his portfolio.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, 290 LTOs and some interesting data there.
But let's pivot back to what started the conversation, which was the article based on the post that you can find on domainnamewire.com right now if you wanted to check it out. About their LTOs, because it seemed like it was a decent sample size. And mm-hmm. I thought a few of the interesting things that I saw, and I'm actually going to pull the article up, but I remember what surprised me was the number of LTOs that don't complete, right? Because, I mean, it seemed like it was almost like 50-50, right?
That brings me back to what I want to ask Andrew was, you said you knocked out a couple of LTOs at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
What's the term generally? What length?
Those were both 12 month, which is pretty good, right? I think I set them to 13 or 14 because on GoDaddy or on Afternic, you get a little bit extra back, but they use the slider and moved it down to 12. So, and with those, I mean, my successor, I don't have nearly a sample size that, NameBio has here, but on those, I mean, generally speaking, most of them complete. Most of them go through the cycle. I do 12 to 24 months now. I was at 36 on some. You know, Darpin Munjal at Adam had pointed out, he showed a graph one time, and I think it was like after 24 months, that's where you start to get into a riskier area.
Yeah. I have to adjust mine. I had been doing mostly like 24 to 48 month length. Because I kind of just was like, I don't know, 12 months, 6 months. It's not really doing much for anybody. But But
you gotta put yourself in the, you know, I had someone do it.
Yeah, when I read that article I read the post from Sumner, and then it was somebody else a few months ago that said the same thing to me, I think on the, you know, PDC chat. And it was like, yeah, the data seems to be overwhelmingly clear that it should be what you're saying, 12 to 24 months.
I had someone do an 8-month on a 30K domain this year, and it's an individual entrepreneur who's trying to get a business off the ground, right?
Yeah.
So stretching out that, you know, 3,000 a month plus over 8 months, you know, it gives them more runway to do other things. So,
yep.
Yeah. No, I think it makes sense. But yeah, if you look at the data, 59% successfully completed, 41% canceled, but a raw cancellation rate of 27%. So, and it seems like
because some of them are still ongoing, right? So they haven't completed, but.
Mm-hmm. And then the longer term equals higher risk, 54% that were 36 months or longer. So actually a more than 50% cancellation rate on those really long LTOs, which I think, you know, kind of drives this, the importance of keeping it in a somewhat of a manageable term. And then 17% paid off early. I think that's kind of neat. And then 32% of those early payers paying off only after one or two payments, kind of like, okay, I've got the name, I've started to build, you know what, I want to take away the risk. We actually had one like that literally this week. It was a big company that we helped acquire a name that, you know, is already inquiring about buying it out, you know, so.
Yeah. And that's on after, Nick. I suspect the buyout rate might be higher on Adam because they even have a thing where you as a seller can say, hey, if you pay this all now, I'll give you like a 5% discount.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great little.
The other interesting thing, you know, I see people after they responded to NameBio's post here saying like, hey, you know, if there were down payments on these, your cancellation rate would be lower, which is true. But you have to wonder how many people would have been like, I'm going to skip this domain. So,
agreed.
And it's really hard to get that data. I've talked to Darpin about that. And you know, he said in general, they don't see that it makes a big difference, but it's really hard to tell. Like you would have to have 10,000 of these, you know, to really get a good read on
it. It would have to be a really large data set because each deal is unique. There really is no, you know, even in a large data set, you're still speculating because it's really every deal is unique. Every domain is unique. Every set of variables around each founder and the company that they're launching is unique. Their funding and the runway that they've got, it's all unique. And so it's very difficult to pin down these sort of broad stroke, you know, best practices. But, you know, I think saying something like, look, the term, you know, versus cancellation of 12 to 24 months, I think you could probably say that's pretty clear.
Yeah. Shout out to NameBio for releasing this data and some other data. They've really been upping their sharing lately. It's really good.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Shout out NameBio.
Yeah, big fans, obviously, of NameBio and all the work they do. You know, just as a tool and as a contributor in the space, it's, you know, they play an important role. So, you know, obviously big fans. But,
I think Sumner's just like an absolute data, like, freak. He just, like, there's nobody that just gets up in the data like he does. He can parse some data.
I'm just looking to see if there's anything else that's worth kind of mentioning. But I think digging in, this is an important piece as people turn on LTO deals for their portfolio in general. And I do think that, you know, you kind of overlook some of these variables about term length and upfront payments. You know, the other option too is not just doing it by way of a payment plan, but the actual standard lease option, right, which we use a lot, which is they pay an amount upfront, then they pay probably a smaller monthly fee. But the monthly fee doesn't actually apply against the cost of the domain. And then there's the buyout price at the domain whenever, like, you know, they've sort of, which I think is an interesting model, which is pretty startup friendly because it, you know, puts a little skin in the game early. And then they have this recurring payment with the opportunity to buy it out once they kind of, you know, they've sort of baked in their maximum cost of their domain and brand for once they, quote unquote, make it, you know, which is also, you know, that would be interesting. I don't know how many domains that the NameBio guys have under those kind of deals, but that's also another model that, you know, would be interesting to get really under the hood. I mean, we've got a handful of those, but not enough to probably.
I assume those are higher dollar ones though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because that's the whole thing. It's the idea of like,
there was a venture was it venture.com? Like, was trying a pure lease model, yeah, without a buyout option. And I think they've shifted from that because I
never understood that.
I don't know how a buyer would agree to that.
But they did have some deals.
They did.
That's crazy.
But, yeah.
I mean, I think, Drew, you were at one point thinking that was, you know, a model you liked where it was just a perpetual lease.
Yeah. I still, to this day, think that's probably in one form or another where the industry will end up. I don't know on what timeline, but I think that, you know, just as an owner, like that's for sure.
Of course, as an owner, it's amazing.
Right? Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, I want to, you know, I want 1,000 names leased out at $500 a month forever, yeah. Right? With a annual inflation rate of, you know, 5-7%, and just boom, let's go.
Economy 25%.
I mean, you can get. Why wouldn't a company want to get into a 7-figure or 8-figure or 6-figure asset for $500 a month? Like, that's obvious. That's a no brainer. But it's such a no brainer that I think that ultimately, my prediction is within 10 years. Basically, VeriSign does what .co just did. They stop allowing registrars to auction off expired domains, and they take back all the expired domains, and they basically become an aftermarket registry as well as a registry operator. And they basically just are leasing out the names that get expired and come back to them, and they lease those domains out on a long-term basis through their registrar partners.
They've tried. You know, they tried to insert themselves into the back order game before, and, you know, it's challenging for them because they don't want to lose the .com contract, right? And by proposing something like that, it really, you know,
the way I'm proposing it, though, actually doesn't require them to really change the terms of their contract. What they were trying to do is basically take, you know, GoDaddy's launch and auction off these names themselves. But that's not what I think is in their long-term interest. What's in their long-term interest is long-term predictable cash flow. And so basically the exact same form of cash flow, just at an inflated price point to what they get from the registry operations today. And so I think really the long-term model is an aftermarket registry operation where you've got a pool of domains, you've got semi-standardized pricing across maybe, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 buckets. And then, you know, not one-off individual pricing on domains, but, you know, 5 buckets.
The premium model that most new TLDs have. Yeah. I'm sure they love that. I'm sure they love that. I don't know regulatory-wise if they'll be able to get it through. But
from what I can tell, I don't think that requires any changes to their agreement.
Well, yeah, but it'd be interesting kind of to Andrew's point, and also the way that the process works, you know, imagine the amount of working groups and things that would get involved.
I think it would require a change to their agreement for sure. So, but, you know, I don't want this to get into a policy discussion because that'd be boring. So
policy is so much fun, man. You know, shout out to Zach and Matt and the team at the ICA.
Give your money to them so they can deal with it.
You don't even have to have this conversation. But I think that the important piece, though, about the LTO stuff, I do think if you have this perpetual lease deal, and I think everybody agree, you know, the buyer needs an option to buy out the name. I think that should be, you know, that's
at a prefixed price, right?
Exactly. Well, and then that's the whole thing, because then what they're paying.
Hold on. Okay. So if they're getting the name from you and me, then yes, I agree. Psychologically, they require a path to ownership. I've always said that. And it has proven to be true. Kevin Hams, venture.com has tried to do it with, you know, and that has worked to a limited extent, but from what I understand, a lot of the names, a lot of the owners still push back and ultimately, you know, are pushing for a path to ownership. If they're getting it if there's basically no distinction between a domain registration and a premium domain registration, then I'm not sure why you think that that is any different. The only thing that's different is the price. Instead of paying $15 a year, they're paying, you know, $15,000 a year. Right? I don't really understand where the distinction would be. Right? They don't have 100% rights over the name. They still have this obligation to a renewal fee, whether, you know, with VeriSign and GoDaddy or whichever registrar. I don't know that I just don't see that it's any different. It's literally just another registration fee. It's a renewal fee. And then that's perpetual and it's got some kind of inflation mechanism and they have all the same rights that they have when they hand register a domain or buy a domain in the aftermarket and then it sits in their account. And I don't perceive a difference now, but that only works if it's done by VeriSign. It doesn't work if it's done by individual actors. It has to be standardized across registrars, and that requires, you know, a top down from the registry to the registrar approach. It can't be from, you know, there are individual registrars which could build mechanisms that allow domain owners to collectively utilize a system like that, but it wouldn't be cross registrar. And so it really only works if it comes from a registry.
Right. And that's why I'm kind of ignoring the registry, like the registry approach. And I'm just saying currently right now, when you're talking about lease to own or lease deals for domain names.
Yeah, you got to give them a path to ownership.
That's it. So, yeah. So like I said, we're all on the same page. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And it's good data. So, you know, definitely shout out to NameBio. Check out their tweet, their X post, and check out the Domain Name Wire corresponding article. You know, it's good stuff to dig into. So. All right. Well, with that, let's keep it moving since we're already on the topic of domain talk. Alaman, you did Nordic Domain Days. Did you go to the ICA meeting in New York?
No, I had already booked. By the time they scheduled that, I'd already booked my trip and was leaving the same day. So I heard it was good, though. Braden was in Stockholm, of course. Yep. He's at every conference.
He said it went really well.
If you're not married and you have no kids, then it's very easy to, you know, fly around the world and go to conferences.
Yeah. He said it was sold out. In fact, they even kind of squeezed in one or two extra people. Mm-hmm. So that's good. You know, I hope they do more kind of regional things from time to time. That'd be pretty cool.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I think
I also heard good feedback.
Yeah. The feedback was great. It's, you know, they had great weather. You know, big shout out to Squarespace who hosted in their New York offices, which was great. So that was super, super cool. And, you know, I do. I like the idea of a mid-year kind of an in-between conference. I really like the approach of the New York one, which is a little bit even more sort of intimate and, you know, kind of targeted and focused, which I think is great. And, you know, it sounds like we went really, really well. So we should expect to see them make this an annual thing. And I don't know if it'll stay in New York or how they're going to want to do that. But I like the idea of an East Coast option, which is cool when the other one is on the West Coast. And, you know, they're just doing great stuff. You know, we actually have our monthly meeting today after the show. So I'm looking forward to even more of the recap. But by all accounts, it was a success. And so big shout out to Camilla and Zach and Tiffany and team and Nat. And, you know, it's all good stuff. So anyway, all right. That's me kind of shilling a little bit since I'm a board member. But, you know, I do really appreciate all the work they're doing. I think they're doing a great job.
I heard you got outvoted for the president spot.
I tried, man. You know, I tried to take it by force. You know, I was shot down.
Wait, you didn't even tell me you wanted to be the president?
No.
I'm just messing with him.
Yeah. No, Jeremiah.
Like, yo, I'm not sure you've got that much free time, my friend.
I barely have enough time to be a board member, let alone like an actual active participant in the day-to-day. But Jeremiah.
You do have that much time, and that's something else we got to talk about.
Yeah, it's a different kind of No, the, what do you call it? Jeremiah stepping down. I don't know how public the next step says.
Yeah, I don't know if it is yet. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I know, you know, pretty sure I know who the next president's going to be, but I don't know if that's public information. So I'm going to leave it at that, but we'll be in good hands. You know, they're just, it's all good. It's all good stuff. So we'll leave it at that for now, but stay tuned. And, for the listeners out there that are not members of the ICA, I just would implore you to go and sign up, and it's pretty cheap and easy to be a single member. And there's a lot of benefits, and they're doing great, great work. So they're out there advocating for you on a daily basis. So you should support them. Plus, it provides a lot of cool member benefits and opportunities. So anyway, so that's that. But all right, well, keep it moving. Let's get on to the domain game. Let's see what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Let's see if we can't guess. I think I won the last one, if I remember correctly. So I think I won. Did I win the last one? I probably did, just because. You know, I'm just playing. All right, Drew, what's good, man? You got to buy or sell?
Let's go with a buy.
Okay.
And we're gonna go with let's go with julians.com.
Oh, okay. I'm not aware of this one, so I get to participate with Julians. Is that J-U?
No, let's go with TARP. We're gonna go with TARP.com. TARP.com.
T-A-R-P.
T-A-R-P.
T-A-R-P.com.
Like the rescue.
Yeah,
like what they pull out when it's raining at the baseball game.
You know what I mean? Drag it out into the desert. Put it in the trunk.
Yeah, like when you get called into the office and asked to stand on the friendship tarp, you know.
Yeah, come stand on the friendship tarp.
You know that's never a
good thing. Turn around. Look at that wall over there.
Like the thing they threw Joe Pesci and his brother in the hole in Goodfellas.
I do like Julian's, though. I just bought Julian's last night on Drop Catch, and I really like that.
Hey, that means that you like the Andrus is being re-auctioned.
I know.
All right, so TARP, T-A-R-P.
You know, Rick Schwartz is 100% right. You know, when you get a deadbeat buyer in an auction, and the auction comes back to market, which is what that is the correct thing to do,
yeah,
in my opinion, but it puts a stink on it, and I just don't have the same enthusiasm as I did the first go around. You know, I'm certain there's no funny business. I think that the Reveries run one of the tightest ships in the industry, but it just doesn't have the same appeal. It just got a little stink on it when it comes back to market the second time. But I'm in there, you know, I'm looking at it. I've pulled it up about five times today, thinking to myself, do I want to do I want this? How bad? It's like the Scandinavian version of Andrew. That's the only reason I really wanted it. It's not like such a great name, but it's like it's Andrew and like, you know.
Yeah, no, but there's some other connotations. Because I was in that auction too. There's some other positive, it's a good name. It's a good brand. Yeah. But it went too high.
Yeah.
All right. So TARP.
TARP. T-A-R-P dot.
It's like Andrews are us.
Yeah. And if it's the Scandinavian version of Andrew, then Alleman just coming off of Nordic Domain Days would probably be really feeling the vibe.
That's why he's so silent. He's the one I'm bidding against.
TARP. T-A-R-P.com. All right. Ready? Alleman, you got some device that you got your...
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, 3, 2, 1. Flip. All right, so I'm at 30,000.
Oh!
Amar's at 60,000, and Alleman is at 75,000.
It's amazing how my COO/CEO doesn't know me. He just doesn't know me. Just doesn't know how I do business. And yet here's Andrew Alleman showing up, guest appearance, and just nails it. Right on the nose.
Damn,
right,
that was my first number, and I brought it down to 60.
To the dollar.
That's good, because last time I think I said 4x what you paid. So now I'm I'm reconfiguring here.
Oh man! All right. Well, somehow he front loaded his compliment of you with an insult to me. But that's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
I throw around compliments sparingly, so I gotta. Balance it out.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's a little high,
It should have been what I said.
It should have been what Amar said. It should have been 60, but it was 75. It's not easy to get a great one word, especially a four-letter one word. I'm not going to go so far as to say that tarp is a positive connotation, but it's a totally neutral word. And it has, you know, let's say brand potential. It has e-commerce implications. It has, you know, so it's a multifaceted domain. It's at least a neutral four-letter word, super easy to spell. And the word was made extremely famous by our corrupt government that, you know, poured, what is it, hundreds of billions? I don't know. I lose track of which order of magnitude in money we're talking about these days. But, you know, the TARP program was part of the 2008-2009 financial crisis bailout was when they basically, it was what do they call it? Not monetary easing.
Quantitative easing?
Quantitative. Yeah. Anyways, whatever. It was basically the invention of, you know, the money printer at scale was the TARP program and bailing out all the banks.
So right now it's interesting because it's in the, if you watch baseball, there's this whole TARP soft movement.
Oh, what's
started
that?
Started in St. Louis. The Stephen F. Austin College baseball team is in St. Louis and they went to a game and they had a whole section and they all took their shirts off, their tarps off. And then, so St. Louis has really leaned into it because they were more like soccer fans there. They were actually excited, which most baseball fans aren't at the games. And so, and then it's kind of spread to a bunch of other stadiums as well. So not that there's, you know, not that they're going to buy the domain for that,
commerce and use in culture is ultimately what drives the value of a domain. And so the more it's being utilized in culture, the more top of mind it is and the better brand it is.
100%, man. Tarps off, baby. You know what I'm saying? That might be the name of the show.
So anyways, it is very difficult to get an easy to spell, widely recognized four-letter word .com, you know, under $100,000 these days or under $150,000, really. So I thought at 75, I'm going to, you know, take the punt and pick it up.
Use in commerce, use in
culture. Shout out Grit Brokerage for selling it to me.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out to them too. All right, cool. Well, all right. And Alleman's got the point. So let's see, Amar, you're up, man. We got a name. You got a buy or a sell.
Yeah, let's do another buy since we're going that direction. I got I'm sure Drew will excoriate me on this one. We got kinetic.ai. Kinetic spelled with a K on both sides. So K-I-N-E-T-I-K, kinetic.
Okay.
Dot A-I.
So it's a dot A-I and spelled wrong.
Correct. Got it. I'm here for the punishment, Drew.
Kinetic dot A-I.
I think that's a decent name.
All right. You guys ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh, man, I'm low again.
Oh, right, man. Pretty tight. Oh, shit. Alleman with the win. It was 3605.
Well, you didn't even let me say. I was 800. Drew was at 3,369. And what were you at?
35.
And Alleman was at 3,500.
Man, guy just shows up on Domain Sherpa and runs away with it.
Yeah, that's it.
I've been practicing ever since last time.
That's awesome. So, all right. So you bought it for $3,600. Where'd you buy it? And what was your thinking?
So I bought it in auction this morning, actually. It just closed right before the show. It was weird because I was deciding, $2,500 was my initial max. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know, something about this name, I like it. I don't know what it is. And then I search my portfolio. Apparently, I own kinetic.io and kinetic.org. So now I have the
same spelling or a different spelling?
The same spelling. The same spelling. Uh-huh. So I have the three best alternatives to .com. And .com is developed and owned by an energy company. It'll never be available. And there's a lot of usage on that spelling.
Oh, wow. There's actually a lot of end users.
Yeah.
There's a lot of end users.
Yeah. So I was pretty happy.
This is at Namecheap, an expired option there?
Yeah.
Wow. There's a shocking number of end users for this domain.
Yeah. So Drew is not talking too much shit.
I think he's on board. He's going to be trying to buy it off you before the show ends. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be like, so talk to you about
it. It'll be
kinetic-
on the next game. How much did Drew pay him off?
Exactly. And then Drew will sell it, and then it'll be on the game in that capacity. So
okay.
At some point, we Frankenstein all the shows together and give it some continuity. I like it.
Wait, so now we don't even have to play the next one because Alvin already
just
won.
But
we're doing it not for, we're not doing it for the trophy. We're doing it for the audience to learn.
Let's do a sell. I'll do a sell. And so give me a number 1 through 17. That's how many names I've sold this year. And I'll do that one. Unless it's an LTO that hasn't completed.
All right.
Number three.
Okay. Transactionai.com.
TransactionAI.com. Mm-hmm. All right. TransactionAI.
Yeah, this is a hard one because it could be a really wide range.
Yeah.
AI. Sold it in January.
January, so early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. You guys ready?
Got my number.
Wait, one sec. Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1, flip. Man, I'm low on everything today, man. Okay. 7,500. Drew's at 14,369 and Amar's at 19,995.
So 9,888.
That's me.
It was a hand registration. hand registration in 2017. So I will say, though, that I raised all my wordai.com after this sale because I had a name that, you know, I hand registered all these names back in. So that one was 2017. And
wow.
I had one that a broker reached out to me about this year and said, hey, Andrew, would you be willing to come down a little bit on your price on this name? So I looked it up and I'm like, oh, man, I sold this name for like $5,000 a couple years ago. Oh. And then I looked up how much they're asking for right now. It's about $250,000, which means, you know, they would have paid six figures for it. So I was like, screw it. You know, I'm going to raise this. So all my AI.coms now are like $25,000 asking price. So
again, I should have been the winner.
So I actually was going my price was going to be $24,369. I was literally at 14,369 or 24,369. Those are the two prices I was juggling.
Let me see if it's developed now.
So I think in reality, Drew, you and I are probably the best at this game. We're ahead of our time.
You think too much. You think
should have won.
Much.
You should have got swag. You should have got the respect. You know what I'm saying? But you know, unfortunately, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know?
Right. I agree.
All right. All right. Cool. Well, that's a domain game. Congratulations to Andrew Alleman coming in, you know, working hard, doing his Rocky thing. You know what I'm saying? Training, getting ready. You know what I'm saying? And walking in here and handling business.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Let's slide into NameJet. Gonna jet. We're gonna review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. See what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. Well, you know what I did not do during that round, though, of the domain game is see what appraise.net thinks of those domains. So we're going to do that here as we roll into NameJet and a jet. I'm going to throw these two names in or these three names into the into
have
the
you guys
mix.
Been reading my me and
yeah,
my
I was okay. Going to ask you. I wanted to maybe that's a good conversation for to be towards the end. I'd love to kind of get your overall thoughts. Now I'm actually
I'm super glad you've been doing that though, but I've read all of them.
Yeah, I was surprised that there were that many options. I didn't know.
For well, actually, I heard about the one today, the dot software, whatever, praise.software. I never even heard of that.
Yeah, well, and more coming out of the woodwork and pinging me like, hey, can you review mine too? Can you review mine? And I'm like, oh, jeez. you know, it was actually, so this that was Seiger's idea. And he got a margarita in me when we were out drinking once, maybe a second one. He's like, she's like, you should do this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I was thinking there would be a list of five. And then he sends me a list of like 10 or 15. I'm like, oh, geez. So I put it off for a month or two. And then.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, though.
So let's see. So, yeah. So what we're talking about is the article that you did about all the appraisals.
So I've done one a day for like the past week reviewing each appraisal survey. And there are like four more that are coming out. So
very cool. And then do you have them in a list of or is there an over?
Not yet. I'm going to do a wrap that kind of says what I think, you know, you should do as a domain investor. There's a preview, though. You know, like a lot of them were just like even Dharmesh Shah's, it's just unusable because if you put in a domain and you put it in 2 minutes later, you'll get a completely different number. So,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Cause yeah, I guess those are some of the things that are, you know, should they be organic? It's, I guess, not that quick though, right?
Well, yeah, it shows
I don't
that
know if he's just not maintaining it or, you know, because it was a agent.ai was much better earlier than it is today.
I think it was also those hallucinating sales comps early on. And I imagine all of these AI-based systems are doing that. They just don't show the sales comps anymore. So you don't know if they're hallucinating or not.
Yeah. So what are your early, you want to talk a little bit about just your early thoughts?
I can, or do you want to do it after the name chat or?
I mean, you know, it's up to you. Yeah,
I
mean, we can.
I mean, I can talk about it now. I mean,
we're in it.
Some of them have strengths. Some of them have weaknesses. You know, I had an interesting actually discussion with Alan Shiflett at Nordic Domain Days. And it was like, is the goal of an appraisal system to guess how much a domain sold for, or is it to predict what it's worth? And I think this is a fair point, right? So, you know, we put a few names through these systems, right? A couple of each type. And a lot of it depends on what the asking price was. So if I asked 15K for a name and it's sold, right, we're looking at sold domains, then that skews, I could have just as easily asked for five, right? Just like with transactionai.com, if I'd asked 25K, maybe it would have sold for that. But a lot of these are just so like off. And then they are also oftentimes inconsistent. And I think, and they don't show their work too, right? I think you have to show comps to have any legitimacy. So I think they're good.
Well, I disagree on that. Which, you know, we don't have to get into it because I've expressed this view a million times. But I don't believe in the concept of comps. I understand the mechanism of people who don't understand what a domain is worth. They're looking for, they're grasping at straws to try and identify, well, if my peers are paying X, then that's probably what my domain is worth. But that fundamentally isn't true. You know, I just don't, I've tried to wrap my head around it, but I failed to find any causation between X domain sold for Y and Y domain sells for X. There's no causation. There's no correlation or causation between those two sales. You have a unique buyer in both cases. You have a unique domain name. That domain name has unique, you know, novel search volumes, CPCs, trademarks, you know, all of the...
Well, you're making an argument that all these appraisal tools are bunk then. They're worthless.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is what I've always said, which is that there are two domain values in the world. There is an objective domain valuation for which there is a methodology that is based upon objective data that can tell you what is the anchor point. What is the objective value of this domain name in the universe? And then there is a subjective value, which by definition is subject to who is the buyer and who is the seller, and then often and most importantly, timing. So there is the objective value, which is, let's just whatever domain, okay, xyz.com. Shout out to Daniel. How many people search for this thing per month? How many trademarks exist? How many companies exist? How much funding have those companies raised? What, you know, how much use in commerce and culture does this keyword or acronym have? These are objective facts. With those facts, we can identify a fundamental intrinsic value to that domain name, independent of timing, independent of who owns it, and independent of who the buyer or potential buyer may be. This is an objective, data-driven valuation with no subjectivity. And that is the core metric that we are missing in this industry. And what I have said for 15 years or more is the absolute fundamental key to the next leg up in our industry, in domain valuations, in liquidity, in shrinking the spread between the ask and the bid. All of this is dependent on achieving a objective anchor point that we could get around and say, okay, look, I'm the seller. I want $5 million. You're the buyer. You want to pay $100. Here, the objective data shows that this domain name is worth $300,000. Great. That's our starting point. Now, you need this domain tomorrow and you're way off my selling point? Well, then you're going to have to pay, right? Because you can only pull certain levers. If you want to optimize for price, then you're going to have to sacrifice timing. You're going to have to be patient. And if you want to optimize for timing, meaning I need this domain now, then you're going to have to sacrifice price. And so the variables are impossible to predict, impossible. And the only time that you can even come up with a valuation that is based upon subjective facts, it's basically valid that day or maybe even that hour. And then that's it, because circumstances change, whether it's fundraising or a lack of fundraising or the markets or the geopolitics, or, you know, the owner, you know, gets ill, his wife has cancer, whatever it might be. There's a million variables and factors that go into what drives a buyer and a seller to adjust their price or set their price. And those are impossible to predict. Let's say beyond a very, 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 very narrow time frame. And even then, you're never going to have perfect knowledge. You don't know if a fundraising round is closing on the buyer today or tomorrow or next month. You don't know if, you know, whatever, they're about to announce that they got 300% month over month growth, right? You don't know. You're never going to have perfect information. So a subjective valuation is basically worth toilet paper. And that, unfortunately, is what all of these domain valuation tools are trying to drive at. The only thing that matters is a objective domain valuation tool. And that is what we need. And I have wanted to build that for a very long time, but I'm not very good at building things. I'm only good at making deals. So I haven't done it. But that is really what we need. We need an objective tool. We actually have now built it. We have it internally. And I don't know, JT, you are far more unbiased than I am, but I would say it's really freaking accurate. I mean, it gets pretty damn close to where most of our deals end up landing. So it's pretty, I think it's pretty good. I think it's, and I don't say that because I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to publish it. I'm not trying to, but it's based upon purely, solely objective data.
I think with that in mind and thinking about these appraisal tools, I think it's important. So even if you don't think it's comps, it's to show the work, right? What is the objective data about it? And of all the ones I tested, Adam provides the most backup for its decisions, right? It's showing how many companies have this name, how many TLDs are registered. Maybe some of these others are using that, but they aren't showing it to you as a user. So, and you know, on the comp side, I understand what you're saying. I also think, as an example, voicemail.app, appraise.net valued it at like the midpoint was, well, it said 75 to 185K, which would make it like in the top 10 of all .app domains ever sold. So to me, there's a comp issue there, right? Like it should have been able to show something in that range for a name like that.
Yeah. I guess when you talk about something other than .com, comps probably matter more because again,
it's hard.
Less understanding of what a name is worth on an alternative extension.
Yeah.
So comps frankly, help.
most of these appraisal tools shouldn't bother with those because there's just not enough data. Like how can you like, I had a dot homes that we tested, like they're like 8 sales in name bio. How are you going to know?
It's going to be arbitrary.
I will say though, that I think appraisal tools are great for stack ranking a list, especially when you're looking at expired domain.
100%.
Even GoDaddy's Go value, which people complain about for good reason.
Because it's terrible.
It does a pretty good job when you go through here. The better names are at the top, you know, even if the value is wrong.
I'm trying to chase the better names. And so they're all just $25,000 plus, right?
Well,
so
it's like,
you know, it doesn't really do me much good. Yeah. But yes, I think this is also something we've said on this show for a very long time is, you know, back when Estimate used to be a sponsor and we used to talk a lot about, you know, Estimate valuations. I used to, you know, say, look, guys, take the valuation with a grain of salt. It's not worth much,
man,
but it's a very good way of judging relative to the other names in a list. It's a very good way of extracting certain data points that you can then use to create more objective, you know, decisions. But
yeah, in fact, I'd argue like, so on Adam appraisals, they have a score, right? So sorry, I'm typing one in here on the other screen. Oh, it's one of the ones I use in the appraisal. So it gives an estimated value, how many TLDs it's registered in, you know, and then it has a domain score. So 6.7. It's almost like these should be scores instead of dollar values because, you know, again, you go to backtest it, right? Can you backtest it? You'd have to backtest 10,000 names plus that aren't public sales. And then you'd also have to, you know, make that argument on, well, was it priced correctly or not? So I think, yeah, I think like a scoring thing in some ways is more valuable than spitting out a number.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty cool. That's a great idea. Like the idea of a domain score and not even trying to tie it necessarily to a value because some of that is really just, you know, and you're really just almost measuring domains against one another versus trying to pin them down specifically in a market that's so, you know, based on things that are just not available information.
Like Drew was talking about earlier, these things that, you know, really are at that point in time, the situation, you know, an example. So we used dragonfly.com, SigerSale as one of the test ones. You guys tell me, maybe you've talked about this on the show. Do you think bar.com, pub.com are worth more than dragonfly.com?
Sure.
Individually, you mean?
Yeah. Like, would you think bar.com versus dragonfly.com is a more?
No, dragonfly.com is worth more than both. Well, dragonfly.com is definitely worth more than bar.com. And it's a toss up with pub.com. Pub.com also has, you know, pretty big implications in with the idea of publishing, not necessarily a pub, like a go have a beer, but in terms of publishing, like PubMed is literally the largest medical journal in the world. Coincidentally, I saw that medpub.com, which is just the PubMed switched around. MedPub is expired on Dropcatch right now. Pub.com, I think it has the potential to be up there with Dragonfly, but Dragonfly is a uniquely valuable domain.
It is a great name. So I guess the point is that, you know, Pub and Bar sold for what, $1 million combined this recently, right? I don't know if that was last year or this year. Dragonfly, pretty sure that's a 7-figure sale, even though Michael can't disclose it. So I think a lot of it had to do with what the seller was willing to sell it for, right? Where they are in 100%. Life, where they are in money. And that gets back to what you were saying earlier, Drew.
Yeah. So it's all subjective. It really is. You know, this is what I say to people when I'm negotiating is like, look, you know, here is the objective data, right? And I don't care who you are. I will convince you that this is the objective value because it's based upon commercial metrics. It's based upon my entire valuation methodology is based upon how am I going to reduce your cost of customer acquisition? or let's call it eyeball acquisition, depending on what type of, you know, business or platform you are. And so if we could do that, that has a value, and that value is measurable, and we can extrapolate that out. And the only thing we can really discuss is what's a reasonable business multiple to you know, extrapolate. So is it, you know, in your industry, if you're doing M&A, you're buying another business, do you typically pay, you know, 3 times? Is it 5 times? Is it 8 times? You know, that we can discuss. But I generally will use an extremely conservative 3X. And so that's 3X, the annual cost savings of customer acquisition. And so I think it's an extremely conservative valuation methodology that is entirely data-driven. And the only subjective component of it is what's the business multiple we're applying. And that business multiple does change depending on industries. But from that point, now we can have a discussion. Why do you want to pay less? Why do I think you should pay more? And that is an honest discussion. That's a productive discussion. And that's why ultimately we end up selling a lot of names. But if you don't have that non-arbitrary anchoring point that you can both agree upon, similar, Andrew Miller used something called ZERP. Yeah, I forgot what he's called. ZERP is zone.
Oh, SOPA.
Zone of SOPA. Possible agreement.
ZOPA, yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, look, you're here, I'm here. This is this, you know, well, I guess he's just missing that anchor point. You need an anchor point. You need to have an anchor point that we can both agree on, because, you know, you can have a pretty wide zone. But if you've got that zone, if you've got that anchor point, then, you know, whatever, you can shift to the left or you can shift to the right. But it gives you a meaningful, non-arbitrary point to negotiate from. I lost my track of my thought. I actually had something I wanted to comment.
JT's looking at the clock too. He's like, all right,
move on. Up on time, man. We done overtime. But no, look, I think the point you're making, you know, and we're talking about the valuation tools, the appraisal tools. It's very hard when subjective pieces matter so much. You know, trying to find an anchor point in the mix of all that is like, you're looking at what are the objective pieces. You know, I know that the Rosner equation, you know, we talk about search, we talk about, you know, just the, you know, use in commerce, like, you know, some of those kinds of things. You know, but this is part of what makes the appraisal tools and makes it all such a challenge that no one's completely solved yet, is because it's a very challenging problem to solve, right? You're trying to base, you know, like, what is the dollar value of something where it's just so squishy and, you know, and every name is unique and there's a lot of subjective elements that need to be accounted for that you don't have that information. And some of it is trying to figure out something that's going to happen in the future, right? So it's like, you know, so trying to figure out how to best sort of manage that in a way that creates tools that are, and I think this goes to what Andrew Alleman has said in his articles, which is, you know, coming up with these elements to judge them based on, and one of them is consistency and the other is showing their work and, you know, the different things that, you know, make these useful for people in what they need them for, because they're not going to completely dictate what domains are going to get sold for. But to Andrew Rosner's point, you know, these are helpful, useful tools in negotiations and everything else. So when people are trying to figure out, like, what's my domain worth and do I want to sell it? Should I pull the trigger on this deal? Like, you know, trying to find tools that give people some confidence and some reference points are important. And I just think it's cool that there's so many options out there where people are trying to solve the problem. I think that's really
cool. And I just want to say, you know, because some of the articles are pretty negative, because some of them did fairly poorly. But kudos to everyone for trying, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not easy to do. And, you know, I think it's good to have all these options out there and they're useful. So,
similarly, as negative as I am about, you know, just let's say the approach in general by appraisal tools, I also think it's extremely valuable and it's extremely beneficial to us as domain owners that these tools exist, number one, and that they generally provide extremely inflated, except GoDaddy, extremely inflated, you know, domain valuations. I am waiting eagerly for one of these domain valuation tools based on an AI to, you know, become a buyer, where I can just say, like, oh, if you'll, you know, I'll sell you my domain name for, you know, 5% of what you think it's worth.
Well, but I think the idea of a domain score is really cool because I think then, you know, you're comparing them to other names and I think that starts to become pretty interesting and then you create something that, you know.
I think that's great as a domain investor. As a domain buyer, though, you do kind of need a number. And that's where I think the comps, especially, I know, Drew, you're working on the high end of the market, but especially if you're trying to sell a $15,000 name, like I put in makematter.com, one of the domains we put in there, which I sold for $15,000 this year. And it, you know, it has like Maker Suite as a comp, Maker Mint, Toolmaker, you know, things like that. That way you can go to the buyer and say, well, look, this sold for X. And so that puts this in range. And Adam has actually been doing that on their landers. They show, when they can, they show comps that are in the range.
You have to opt into it.
I'm sorry?
You have to opt into to allow them to show the comps.
That's right. But they're only going to show the comps when it supports your asking price. So you don't need to worry about that. And so a lot of times they don't show them because you're asking a lot. But it's I think that's useful. If you're like, well, this domain is somewhat similar. And obviously these domains are 100% unique. There are no two of the same domain. But showing that, I think, is helpful to get a buyer to understand the pricing.
Yeah. No, and I think the bigger picture, too, and what we're seeing is just the conversation about domain value just seems to be more advanced and sophisticated than it's ever been. You know, even with the folks that we're talking to that are trying to buy and sell names, like they just seem to have a lot more awareness of the fact that premium domains have value, you know, that the idea of domains in the seven-figure range is no longer like insane to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the awareness has grown.
It's wild how fast that changed from, you know, you get a couple, you know, few seven figure sales a year to now it's, you know, weekly, bi-weekly.
I just got a $2 offer on beer.com. That's pretty good.
Well, I'll give you four.
But see, you got to put it in the, you got to put it in the different tools to see what they tell you. But anyway, so speaking of tools, and then we're going to move on to Name Dick and a Jet. Looking at the list from appraise.net, TARP, with the range, tarp.com, the range of 85K to 225K, which I think kind of justifies, Drew, what you paid for it. And, you know, knowing you'll ask for probably more than that. And, you know, I think that's relatively in range. Kinetic.ai is actually showing 65,000 to 125,000. So Amar, you got yourself a deal there, you know. And then for transactionai.com, you've got 45K to 95K as the... you know, which kind of supports the name that you didn't sell for that amount, Alamin, you know what I mean? And
yeah, you know, appraise.net is one of the, are they a sponsor or do you just use them?
Like, no, they are a sponsor.
They're a sponsor.
Okay.
So
they make people happy with their high numbers. Leo was at Nordic Domain Day. So we chatted a little bit about it and such. And, you know, I pointed out to him the things that I think are, you know, off track. But again, I think these tools have a purpose. And
What I really like, and they are a sponsor, but we're also, look, everybody knows, even if you're a sponsor, it doesn't mean we're not going to tell you how we feel publicly, you know?
And I'm at a place in my life where I don't hold back.
Of course not.
The way I think it. I don't think I'm also unfairly cold or harsh on anybody. I call
the best,
balls and strikes as I see them. and so, you know, I'll call out appraise.net when I think that their appraisals are bunk. And I called out escrow.com when they couldn't conduct business properly. So,
again, it's you know, it really grinds my gears. But truth is, and I think that's the point, is that we keep it real. What I like a lot about appraise.net, and we talk to them about the same kinds of things. I do think a lot of their valuations can be on the high side. Which, you know, I think is something that, you know, they got to get under the hood and maybe figure that out a little bit. I do like that they do show their work, you know, with the domain reports that they provide with the different, you know, there's a lot of data, a lot of analyzation, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, which I think is really good. And
they've dialed in some good qualitative stuff in particular through the AI.
So I think they need to hone in.
Analyzation a word? I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. But
he meant an
analysis. Alamin did a nice job of cleaning up my thought for me, which is good.
He meant an analysis.
Yes, he did. Because you know why? He uses real words.
And they do, they also do a great job on, I think, on brandables and on foreign language names. I was actually pretty impressed. I picked up an Arabic name the other day, and it really nailed it on, you know, talking about the broad use and the different meanings even. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. I think that, look, more data is better than less. And I think they have an opportunity to hone in a little bit and, you know, tighten some things up. But, you know, I appreciate the direction that they're going and I like it as a tool. I think it'll be interesting to see yep. how it evolves. And, you know, but it's all good. So
again, anyway, so that's not similar to what Andrew said earlier. More than just the number itself, there's just a lot of good data in there, you know, to let you make an assessment of a domain.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. So, all right, well, let's keep it moving. Let's see what other names we can invent on the show today. In the few minutes that we've got left, we've got about 15 minutes and we got to run through
well,
this list.
You know, I think we should analyzation our conversation.
Exactly. It'll be an analyzation of our conversation.
hey, that should be the title of the episode. Yeah, deep analyzation.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Just put a hyphen up for the A-N-A-L, you know, yeah. So it.
there's something in there. Anyway, all right. I'm just going to have Billy cut it all anyway. It doesn't matter.
The sad part is I bet you it's a registered domain.
All right. Amar, what do you like about the list? By the way, go to the site, download the list. It's got a bunch of info.
It is a domain that is registered and owned by a domain investor. It's got to go. It's got an Naftnik lander.
Nice. There you go.
Analyzation.com.
Analyzation. So, you know, including the appraise.net, the Estabot appraisal, some other data, some links. So definitely check it out. If it helps, hopefully that's the case. Otherwise, it's not financial advice, but, you know, all these are just tools to help you, you know, conduct yourself and make some decisions. But anyway, Amar, what do you like?
So,
what don't you like?
Yeah, my favorite name is probably the one we're all going to like, Shay. That's a crazy name.
Shay.
Really, really nice. And then I like Aquacraft is great. And I don't want to do them all. So, the one I'm not sure what it is, but, Synesis, that sounds like a JT word.
Synesis.
But it has
yeah,
a.
No, that's perfectly. That's Synesis.
That's just a brand, or is it an actual word here? Let's see. I mean, it would be a nice little brand.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's not terrible, but I don't know what it is.
That might be because it's nothing.
I think we need to do a full analyzation of this, a deep one.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's related to grammar. It's a traditional grammatical rhetorical term referring to agreement. So that's a good name.
Yeah.
Where a word agrees with the meaning or sense of a sentence rather than its strict grammatical structure. It's almost like it doesn't have to be spelled right or be the actual word.
It should be JT's AKA.
AKA Synesis.
JT AKA Synesis.
Synesis or Synesis. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or synesis, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's an agreement or reference in accordance to the sense rather than the strict syntax. See, I don't need the word to be a real word. You know what I'm saying. It's about a vibe. Basically, synesis is about a vibe.
The JT vibe speaks. And so he doesn't vibe code, he vibe speaks.
Yes, he does.
Glad we did this show today. I'm really glad. I was actually, you know, like, hey, I don't know if today's the day, but you know, here we are. All right, let's keep it moving. Alamin, man, what do you like, what don't you like?
So I agree with Amar on Shay. That would be my first pick. I also like sunenergy.com. Potentially a little too generic for a brand. Maybe there is a company already, probably some with that on the solar side, but green energy. And then it's longer, but security-dashboard.com. I own itdashboard.com, and I've had some success with names like that. I think that's a good one as well, even though it is the longest one on here, but I think it's one of the better ones.
Okay, cool. I dig it. Anything you don't like?
Oh, there are always names I don't like, but, you know, I mean, I think a lot of these are fine. I'm not a huge .NET person, so ribs.net wouldn't be one I'd really be going into. And then Lorraine, that's like a misspelling there, right? L-O-R-A-I-N-E.
It's an alternate spelling.
Less common spelling.
There is some usage for that.
So, yeah. But there are some good numbers on the list here. And I like some of these .orgs.
Mm-hmm.
I like nutmeg.org as well.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen that one before. So I don't know if it's one of those that just kind of comes around. But all right, well, good stuff. I think that's good insight. All right, Drew, what about you? Why don't you bring us home on the list?
Yeah, I mean, I think Aquacraft is probably like my favorite name. And then the one that you guys didn't mention that I like is Bunga.
Yeah, that's good.
But Aquacraft is like, just seems like, it just seems like that's already like a household name. Aquacraft is just such a perfect brand for any type of motorsport or boat.
Aqua Marina or Aqua, back in the day.
You got Chris Craft,
Aqua Velva.
Aqua.
Well, Aqua works well with something that can be used in the marine industry like Craft.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's an amazing boat brand or any type of marine sports brand. And then Bunga, it's like the back half of Cowabunga. And so Bunga.com, I feel like is a kind of just a cool brand. I like those little five letter, fun to spell, fun to say words, bloop, Bunga,
Synesis.
Fluoro.
Analyzation.
The synesis doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, though. But Bunga, I like Bunga. I like Bunga. Man. I think there's that weird, I don't know if you guys follow that, probably not, but for a couple of years now, there's this saphir, this like, it's made out of some weird alloy metal that they can't identify, and it's probably a hoax, but it's almost definitely a hoax. But it's this weird thing that they've been analyzing, and you've got like serious scientists from MIT and Harvard, analyzing this thing. And they're like, well, we don't know what it is. It's got some electromagnetic thing, whatever. Anyways. And they call it the Bunga sphere. I think it's called the Bunga sphere. Hold on. Let me see.
That definitely does not sound real.
Hold on.
You made that up.
Yeah. Look it up. Bunga. Oh no, it's the Bunga sphere. Wait. Yeah. Bunga. So the no end. Bunga. But look at this thing. It's got all these like weird patterns on it.
Bugosphere.
Bugosphere.
All right, cool.
So, the Bugosphere is like the new Bigfoot. But Bunga. I like Bunga. I'm actually Aquacraft and Bunga. Those are the two I'm going with. Right.
Man, I dig it. So, all right, cool. Well, I think then we pretty much talked about most of the names on the list, and
there's nothing I hate on the list.
What do you think about Kira?
Kira is the wrong spelling, and it's like nobody would ever land on a double E on that. It's like that's kind of worthless.
That's my least favorite name on the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Healthy Day. Even though I want to hate Healthy Day, I can totally like see some consumer brand being called Healthy Day.
Or Naturally Good is nice.
Also, Naturally Good. Those names are like twins.
Yeah. Healthy Day and Naturally Good. Yeah. A little organic something or other, a little K.
Yeah. I guarantee you my wife orders from those companies.
Yeah.
Exactly right. All right. Well, good stuff. Well, that's the list. Thank you guys for chiming in on that. Let's now, we'll do a little round the horn on grand closing and then call it a day. We've definitely covered a lot of ground and we talked a lot of domain talk, which is great. So Alleman, I'm going to start with you. I know we already did the appraisal piece, which is great. Very excited to see the wrap up of that coming up. What else you got? Anything else on your end?
No. Not really. I wrote up a little bit about Nordic Domain Days. I would love to see more domain investors there. Shout out to Giuseppe for leading some domain investor content at the show, but it'd be great to get more domain investors there next year.
Okay. What else is going on there?
So I would say it's European focused. Most people there are from Europe. So like I would look around a room and only know a handful of people from time to time, which was awesome. And there were also, the content was really strong. I would say it was mostly registrars and registries there, as well as some policy folks.
Okay.
But overall, very fun vibe. They keep people on site with entertainment and dinners rather than everyone going off on their own each day in the evening. And they give free tattoos and piercings. So, you know, I mean, yeah, yeah. In front of everyone at the party, after you get a few drinks in, there were five like tattoo wow. artists and piercers there. And there was a long wait too. So
to really?
So yeah.
Finally get that nipple piercing I've been wanting.
Yeah. Yeah. At no cost to you, Amar, just your ticket to Nordic Domain. So it was unique. It was a very different kind of vibe, I think, to any names conference I've been to before. So
very cool. All right. I dig it. Nice. Well, good stuff. So yeah, definitely everybody check out domainnamewire.com. Also listen to the podcast episodes. We got some great ones recently. And, I saw you had Nickel on there. And,
yeah, Nickel. You always have the same guests I have at about the same time. He's like, yeah, I was just on Sherpa. And then I've Logan and Mark on. They're like, oh, I just recorded a Sherpa. JT.
I know. Well, and then vice versa. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like when we get some of these guys, it's like, this is when they're on their media tour, you know?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is always, it's like in every industry of podcasting, it's always the same. It's always like a circle.
Well,
but
really too, like first time on both shows.
But you know, the way that we approach it is so different than the way that you approach
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally completely different conversations.
Totally so. Different.
Yeah.
You're much more professional to
physical. Complimentary. You know complimentary.
We just make shit up over here, including the that's pretty much the difference. If you want real journalism, like go to Domain Name Wire, you know? We're like the bar stool of podcast of
definitely. Definitely.
Anyway, but well, good stuff, man. Very cool. So everybody get over there and check it out. A lot of good stuff happening at Domain Name Wire. Andrew, thanks so much for being on the show and congratulations for the big win today, man. Came in and, you know, it's good stuff. Billy, give him some cheers. And
showed up strong.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it around the horn. Drew, what about you? You got anything else before we get going?
Nope, not much. Nope. I got nothing else to say.
Oh, wow.
Apologize that's to anybody that I offended today. And that's it. I mean it with good intentions, you know, just trying to make everybody better. I really,
as they say in pickleball, sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Yeah, that can be the shit.
I mean, I need better delivery. I just never learned the tools for better delivery, but I do mean it with good intention. I want people to be better, you know, do better.
Do better.
That's all.
Based on what I think. So yeah, no, that's good. All right. Well, what about
usually
you?
Right.
I'm hoping Drew picks up the phone and calls me about kinetic.ai now that he likes it.
I think we've started, the process has started and, I think we're going to,
good to see you guys. And, Andrew, great to see you. It's been a minute. So got to make it back out to Bainbridge and join you guys for some bourbon.
You know, I'm actually going over to see Seiger tonight, so I'll
give him my best.
Yeah,
Bainbridge crew, you, Seiger, Overman. You know what I mean? You guys got a cool little group up there. And
how often do y'all get together?
Not enough. Maybe once a month.
Like,
well,
what,
I say,
what are distances on that island? Like how far is it to Seiger?
I mean, they're 10 minutes, 15 minutes to Michael, and probably 15 to Matt. You know, Matt's harder to, Matt doesn't always show up. He's a busy guy compared to Seiger and me. So he's got a lot on his plate. And,
he has a real job.
A real job and young kids.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. So
that's to your plate pretty quick, you know? So, all right. Well, good stuff. Well, big shout out to all the Bainbridge crew, Overman and Seiger. We had Seiger on the show recently. We got to get Overman back on the show soon. But all great guys. So that's a very, very cool little group that you guys have there in a beautiful place to be a lot of the times. I know you were talking about the struggle with Seattle weather, but man, I'll tell you, like you get out there in July and August and September.
It's 80 and sunny today. So,
I mean, I'll tell you, the first time I ever traveled out to Seattle, I was like, it was gorgeous. And I was like, I really think this has been a big psyop of just trying to keep people from moving there. No, but, cause even when it's not nice, it's not that bad. You know, it's like a little like, you know, I wouldn't even mind. Yeah.
Not as bad as Iceland, having been there, even though one day was nice. Whew, I don't know how they do that. The amount of dark they have in the winter.
Man,
yeah,
it's like the moon. It's just like a crazy landscape. And
yeah,
yeah, it's nuts.
Well, good stuff. Well, listen, thanks so much for being on the show. Also, Drew, Amar, as always, thank you guys. To the audience, for those of you that are still with us after all this, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Without you, there is no us. We say it on every show, but we do really appreciate y'all. And yeah, we're just going to keep it moving, doing what we do. But I hope that y'all continue to tune in. And so again, big thank you to the guests and co-hosts and to the audience. And with that, we're going to get rolling. We'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see y'all soon.